Truths.
know me. We can then look on the external world and bless it. Send our love where there is hate or harm. Send our safety where there is insecurity or fear. We can literally, through our thoughts, give to each and every being on the planet and beyond our strength, our love, our safety, to help them to remember theirs. In giving, so do we receive. Take a few moments, be in your inner place, your sacred house, your favorite place in nature, whatever it is, and be with you and your God for a few moments in silence. Very gently, allow in the sound, allow in the light, the presence of others.
When I pray, I feel my heart go deep.
Where I am, I
thank you for Andrea for going higher and higher and higher. All right, well, I think the service is already over. I mean, we've done it all. You gave me a little cue, Alexander, earlier to say something about myself, which I don't really normally do. When I began, I helped co-found the Blue Box back in 1981. I was doing work I truly loved, truly had a passion for environment and recycling. But I was also in deep conflict in my life. And the only thing that would crack my nut open, so to speak, was the spiritual work. And so 37 years later, I'm still doing it because I need it. I need and want to open up to wisdom and forgiveness and grace that today's talk is about. So thank you for the lead-in, and here's the journey, right? Some of you are also on it, I know. So what I'd like you to think about is just that, letting in wisdom, forgiveness and grace in whatever form that means to you. But what I'd first like you to do is look at that rose. If that rose can open up to all of its beauty, what about us? Maybe it's, or maybe I should say, I wish it were as simple as that. In essence, it is, but some things get in the way, and that's what today is about. Unity themes for 2018 are the courage to imagine, October's theme, gratefulness and gratitude, and today's theme of grace, as you heard in the daily word. That's my agenda, those three, but I've also been given another agenda today because this talk is part of a series that Ron is doing on parables, stories of the Bible, and what we can learn from them for our own lives. And specifically, she's asked that I deal with this particular story, the wise and foolish builders. That's why Thursday's talk session is about this as well. Okay? So, just to take you through the passages, you're probably already familiar with it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus said to the flock, and then not do what I say? Or do not do what I say. Those who hear my words and put them into practice, like a man building a house, he says to people around him, dug deep down and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, a torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. However, the person who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. We all know the story, right? The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I understand there may be versions of that in both Luke and Matthew. Simple story. That's the one I've been asked to look at today. It's kind of like building those sandcastles as we used to as kids, or that we still do as adults. Sandcastles of visions and hopes and dreams and wishes of what could be. Nice to have them, but when the tide comes in, or the water comes in, they don't have a foundation. And so they get swept away, and that's part of the pain of our lives, right? Seeing, wishing, hoping, and not fulfilling. Now, I've also been given a second agenda with today's daily word, the parable of the lost son. I try to follow the direction I've been given, and there's been lots of direction for today. So I'm just following this to see where we go. So you know this story as well. A man who was wealthy had two sons. Ron read it. I'll just give you a little bit more detailed version. The younger one said to the father, give me my share of the estate. Whether he said please or not, we don't have a record. So he divided his property between them. Between his two sons. The younger son then went off to distant lands and squandered his wealth in wild living. Now I know some of you here can relate to wild living, right? So this is not to condemn. This is just to say this is what happened to this son. All right. Severe famine came, and the son longed for food, but no one gave him anything. After some time, he finally remembered that his father's servants were fed very well. So he decided to go home and say to his father, "I've sinned, but please make me one of your servants so I can at least be fed." Is that a drop down, right? So on his way home, the father saw the son and was filled with compassion. You can almost feel it, right? Filled with compassion. He ran to the son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son protested, "But I'm no longer worthy to be called your son because of what I've done." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put a ring on his finger, sandals for his feet. Prepare a feast and let's celebrate. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found." Wow. So as we look at those two stories, what are they trying to say to us? What are they really about? The wise builders, the foolish builders, the father greeting the son. What are they really speaking to us about? Think for a few moments. When we open ourselves to God, what are we opening ourselves to? Think of beginning to open that door inside, the light starting to come through. What are we opening ourselves to when we talk about opening to God? Can I get some thoughts from you? What are we opening ourselves to?
Love.
Thank you. We've just been singing about it. Letting and loving. What else are we opening ourselves to?
Peace.
Light.
Grace.
Forgiveness.
Vulnerability.
Right. We all know them, right? We've been hearing them Sunday after Sunday for years and working with them ourselves. That's just what we're opening ourselves up to. Thank you for that. For me, listening to those two stories and trying to listen to the messages, life is trying to guide us with wisdom and love and all the other things that you've mentioned, which are more solid and sure than what we can give ourselves alone. But Jesus is essentially asking in the stories, will you listen? Will you let it in? Will you follow it? I will follow him wherever he may go. The words lift us as we sing the song. The question is, what about our lives? And can we allow it in our lives? So, now think about this. When we open ourselves to God, what other kinds of thoughts come up? It's a bit of a trick question, but I think you'll get it when we go there. Think about opening that door to the light, to all the things you mentioned. What else comes up inside?
Keep that door closed at all times.
You can identify with that, right? Okay, now I'm in the right place. So, we have images inside that aren't that gentle, loving father with the son. We have images of something almighty or big that feels imposing, or something that is wrathful or vengeful that will punish us if we don't do what it says. We have images of a megaphone God telling us what to do, or perhaps punishing us if we don't. So, life may be trying to guide us with wisdom and insights, but, and you know the but inside, would we really want to listen, let it in, and follow if it's going to scare us or hurt us or tell us things that we don't want to do or that would go against our truths, our inner wisdom? In wisdom, we would pull that door shut and hold on to it for dear life, because what's on the other side is hurtful There's no point. It makes total sense to keep the door shut if God is like a fearful or angry parent or teacher or any voice you've had in the past from any place, even inside yourself, your own critical self. We close the door against those selves for good reasons called self-protection and care. So, there's the challenge of our spiritual work. Because all of us have pictures and memories of that God inside of us. And part of being real on the spiritual path is acknowledging that I will follow Him, and there's a part of me that is so scared and afraid of letting something in that I just need to protect myself. Both are part. And this is why we use these images of the light side and the dark side. The ego and the Christ mind. The fearful place and the loving place. That's what we are. So take a breath and be gentle on yourself. Just if you feel any of those things or see any of those images inside, if you have any of those thoughts, feelings, or memories, be gentle on yourself because it's part of being human. And it's part of the spiritual path. At least that's my experience. So, places like Unity, and this one in particular, but also many other spiritual paths, are about helping us to transform these kinds of thoughts, to transform our consciousness, as you've heard many times here, to move from our old and fearful images and beliefs about God to true ones. And loving ones. Now think about that as I show you these images. It's about moving from that image or picture we have inside, whatever jostles inside, to one of this. A father taking care of a son, even though the son thinks he's been totally wrong in what he's done. It's a movement from this image of dealing with God, of having to sacrifice or bow down on our knees to something larger, and turning to an image of being held, of being loved, of being touched, cherished. What would it mean to move from that old picture to these new ones? Whoops. I can see these are moving ahead of me. It's moving from a masculine image of God, even a benevolent one, to allowing in the sacred feminine images as well inside. Because God is neither masculine or feminine. It's larger than that. Find an image that perhaps speaks to you and allow that one in as well, men included. It's okay to have our soft and feminine sides. And it's moving from an anthropomorphic view, a view of God as person, to God as something beyond person, beyond intellect, into energy, into something far more radiant, but not just outside of ourselves, inside of ourselves. Inside of ourselves so deeply, so intimately that it's closer than our breath, but it's who we are. In our smallness, and in our vastness, that same light is in everything in the entire universe, just waiting to come out. Wow. Could you live into a God or a something like that? Yeah. All right. So, it's also about transforming the ways we think about ourselves. Many times we think of ourselves as an isolated person in a big universe, and we may even have a light inside, but we're kind of alone and struggling. Very small. But what if we were to transform that image into being part of something far larger, so that it is within us and around us as well? The God is within us, and the God is around us. Imagine we could let open to that larger sense of who we are, that light, that love. transforms the idea of following Him in a whole different way. Here's an important piece. Whatever images you have inside, allow them. If you have a masculine God, a wrathful God, a vision of light, anything, just allow them. Gently turn them over, sift them inside, look at them, feel them, and think, is this serving me? If it is, use it. Let it help you to go deeper into your being. Is this loving for me? Is this image serving? If not, maybe I can find another image of God or myself that would allow me more space inside. And is this helping me to open? Is the images I have inside helping me to open more to what these two stories, the builder, the lost son, what these stories are trying to tell us? So now, what are we being invited to let in? Well, started with wisdom and grace. Excuse me, wisdom and guidance. Getting ahead of myself. How do we hear wisdom and guidance in our lives? Any thoughts on that?
How do you? Conscience.
Conscience. Great way, an example of where wisdom and guidance speak through to us. How else do you hear wisdom and guidance in your life?
In the silence. In the silence.
In the silence. Beautiful. Kind of just comes in. How else?
Intuition.
Image. Images. Intuition. Exactly. How else do you hear wisdom and guidance?
Inspiration.
Inspiration. Beautiful. There are so many doors. It's not just about hearing a voice that says,
go to Portugal. Buy a horse.
The wisdom comes in so many different forms. It may be we're sitting inside doing work and it's sunshine outside and we go, wow, it would be beautiful to go out inside and just enjoy that. Or I have an image come up when I'm coming out of dreams of music or something, poetry or an idea. The wisdom and guidance come to us in so many different ways. Maybe it's just taking care of ourselves, not draining our energy and pushing ourselves too hard and apart ourselves. I don't want to keep doing this to myself. Maybe that's the form of wisdom and guidance. So the next question is, if we know how it comes in, how do we act on it?
Believe in it.
Believe in it? That's one way of acting on it. How else can we act on it? We can listen to it without doing anything. This isn't a Nike commercial. Life is not just about doing it. It's first, be still. Listen. Does this wisdom feel like wisdom? Does it sound right? Does it feel like? Does it fully develop? Or do I need to ask consciousness, God, Spirit, tell me a little bit more about that. Help me to understand. I don't fully get it. The first action of hearing is to discern and to know wisdom inside and to cultivate that space so that when we do feel it's right to act, then we can move out fully into action in the world. But it's this bridge that we need to take to know that what we're hearing is whether we should
go to Portugal or buy a Porsche
or do not do those things. Okay? All right. So, we're invited to let in wisdom, guidance, and then next, forgiveness. The stories are telling us. So, from the Daily Word and the Prodigal Son story, prodigal means spending extravagantly, recklessly spending extravagantly. So that story is called both the story of the lost son and the story of the prodigal son, for two different reasons. Like the prodigal son, I may feel unworthy or experience feelings of unforgiveness. That's part of the human experience we have. The Daily Word then went on to say, as I recognize and release these thoughts and feelings, as I recognize and release these feelings and thoughts, I open to God's grace. There's a bridge there. Don't miss the bridge. So, look inside for a few moments. Here I'm going to take you through a couple of very gentle exercises, not long, not punishing, and in no way forceful. Do it if it feels right to you. Notice a part of yourself or a memory that is difficult to accept. Do a scan of your mind and your experience in your life, perhaps. And you may come across something, an experience or a feeling or thought that feels difficult to accept. As I was doing this one this week, it took me back to a place when I was 4. I had just been playing in a stream at the bottom of the hill where I lived, playing with a friend in a stream behind his house, and we had an amazing time. And coming up the hill, in great joy, I walked into my house, and the first thing I was met with was, "Oh my God, you're dirty!" And it shut me right down to the point where I'm still left. This week I recognized I was split between the joy of that experience and the "you should not have done that." These are the kinds of places that when we touch those places, what would it be like to give a little bit of acceptance to that scared little person? Going back to your story, wherever you're holding a non-accepting place inside, could you give it a little bit of acceptance to say, "That may be what happened, but I will still hold myself and love myself in that place." Holding, hugging those precious places that may have been hurt, that are hard to accept when we were hurt, or somebody said something difficult to us, or hurtful or hateful. Can we hold those places inside? If we don't, who else will? Can we hold those inside to give them some nurture? Now look inside again. This time, notice a part of yourself that is frozen. Perhaps it feels a bit like this. Frozen. That something happened and you, like I did as that 4-year-old, froze. Maybe it was a speaking up and somebody told you not to. Maybe it was a sexual experience. Maybe it was an experience of turning to God and others around you told you not to go there. Maybe it was an experience of something in your life where you had a failure or a challenge and you froze inside. What if we were to bring those frozen places? If you have a picture in mind, bring it to the fire, to a safe place, to the fire of warmth and love and tenderness, and imagine that frozen place, that thought, that feeling, that memory, imagining it begin to gently melt inside yourself. Can you feel any part of that? See if you can start to warm those frozen places inside so they're not so tight and hard. Finally, what are we opening ourselves up to? Well, we talked of wisdom, guidance, forgiveness, grace. So what is grace? It's a word we kind of know, but what do we really mean by grace? Perhaps you experience or think of grace as love and mercy. Maybe radiant, divine acceptance or radical acceptance like that father did with the son. Imagine grace even beyond the words. What would it feel like if you were to let grace inside and warm you like that fire? The challenge with these issues in our lives, being hurt, being harmed, being told that we were bad or wrong or dumb or stupid, or evil or crazy or different, mind, is that when we have those happen, the I that is this self grows smaller because we build walls inside. With each thing that happens, we get smaller inside because of the walls we built to protect ourselves. Natural, but confining. One final look inside. Notice a part of yourself that has hardened. Perhaps it's built a wall. Or I won't go there, I won't do that, I won't say that, I won't be that in my life because I can't. Because that I wasn't given permission. Because it's not okay or wrong. Or I did something bad in the past in somebody's estimation or mine. Think about those hardened places inside. Maybe you just feel it in your belly. It feels tight. Or in your shoulders. Or in your head. Feel it viscerally. And imagine giving a little bit of softness to that hard place inside. Well, you might not end up quite that soft, but even a little bit of softness gets you on the journey to going there. All right? So let's bring it on home. The holding, the hugging, the warming, the melting and softening are about taking these parts of ourselves that are tight or frozen or hard, not acceptable, and beginning to allow them to be healed, to be open, to be released, so we are freer inside. Freer not just to be this I, but the radiant I. So I give you an acronym of those things that you may want to remember. Hugging or holding. Acceptance to those places that are unacceptable. Melting inside and softening as well. And the acronym is HAMS. H-A-M-S. A little strange, but just for those of you who are vegetarians or animal lovers. No animals have been harmed in creation of this acronym. Okay? So, about hands, holding, hugging, accepting, melting, and softening ourselves, so that we may take our small self and open up to our divine radiance and the radiance of all of us and around us that is our inheritance. So I invite you to turn within for a final little prayer to just bring these pieces together. Eyes open or eyes closed, whatever speaks to you. Holy One, give me the courage. Help me to have the courage to imagine opening up and letting in any part of what I've heard this morning. Wisdom, love, vulnerability, grace, gentleness, kindness, love. Help me to have the courage to open and begin to release my walls. But only where appropriate. It's your time. Help me, because at times in my life I got scared, and my mind needed to protect itself. So in the best thinking, I developed these places inside to take care of myself. Help me to heal them. To open them up gently, bit by bit, in safety, in security, in love, and forgiveness. And to let you in all the various forms we've talked of today. So that I can move from fear to love. And from whatever darkness inside to light. To take those hurting and wounded, hard to accept places, and gently open them up. Be released in time to the truth of who we are. And I invite you to gently come back. And in that place, and in your way, See if there's a place of gratitude inside for even having the thought of being willing to go there, or able to go there with help that is larger than our own. I am deeply grateful and may love bless.